These are recollections of Turner Ashby, memories of the years when the oceans rose and the several states were separated asunder. Chapter 27. The revolution begun without us. Ain't that always the way? The Austin uprising, the Northwestern currency collapse, corporate breakup of the Carolina sucker has a free state collateral agreement, cyber realignment and acceptance pack, etc., etc., etc. There's a day of remembrance around about October 12th when we all now celebrate those events that happened independently but all happened about on the same day. Kind of like when they realigned Christmas and New Year's to be on Monday. Everybody likes a Monday holiday. Easy to remember. Of course, that's not quite what happened at uprising. Didn't all happen one day. But it didn't quite take a week either. It took 5 days faster than creation. Then it took another 15 years to do all the paperwork. Now, I wrote a book on that subject. You may know it. Solid piece of work. Sold pretty well Midwest and the Maritime provinces. South and in Colorado. I don't know why it sold so well in Colorado. Called it Fair Liza, We Hardly Knew Ye. The first 5 days on the road to popular reunification. As a matter of record, that book was employed as a principal text in a number of university systems back then, including the State University of New York History Program, until the second realignment, which of course was nullified and vilified by the third realignment. By that time, well, facts as we generally thought they were had just gotten in the way. Now I am, however, proud of Fair Liza, We Hardly Knew Ye. It was an all history. I hadn't done one of those before. I traipsed around the hinterlands, the ballrooms, and the back alleys, and interviewed any number of people who were witnesses to that 5 days of revolution. I asked them about what they remembered, who they were with, what they think happened, who they think started it all. And here I will quote. I will quote from myself, which is far easier than quoting from someone else. I found a signed copy of the book on the shelf in the shed between a golf ball and a grease rag. First one, Billy Raymond, 6 years old, Frigidaire, Texas. I was with my mother out riding the Mungo fields on Harley the Horse, and Harley named after a motorcycle. I love Harley the Horse. Ma slowed up and she said we need to slow down. There was some shade up ahead, hard to find shade in the Mungo, and I was happy to find that shade. I was hoping to get a treat. My mama hopped off and slid me off, and suddenly she fell to her knees holding her head, and I heard a kind of electric sound, a buzz come out of her head. I was scared. She said, don't be scared. She said it was just her chip, but she had to concentrate. She usually only said that if we were watching TV reality shows. She held her head like it hurt, and I thought she was crying with tears, like after hollering with Daddy. But she was laughing with tears. I said, what's wrong, Mama? She picked me up, and she swung me around, and swung me around again and again. And she said, we're going home. And I said, don't we always go home? And she said, no, little baby Billy. We're really going home. I'd never heard of Tennessee.
The second one. Caitlin Ann Webster, 29, of Hot Springs, Arkansas.
My chip came on. It hadn't worked in years. I hadn't even worried about it. It hadn't worked for so long, I didn't miss it. I thought it was going to be some kind of sucker hazard report or general announcement saying that the 12-hour workday had been extended to 14-hour workday. But to compensate, 24-hour day was being extended 26 hours. Some shit like that. But instead, I saw my life like I used to see it. Pictures of my family and my best friends. My favorite songs and games I'd won. They were all up. Everything, all my accounts, they just showed up like they used to. Statements and exchanges. Used to be with good chip, you could blink and transfer funds. I remember that in the old days, and that's what happened. I saw funds transfer into my chip. They kept coming and kept coming and adding up and up. And pretty soon my indenture was erased. Just disappeared. And soon the inherited indentures were erased. My daddy's, my uncle's, and he's dead, and their indentures were erased. I watched the numbers just roll off and roll off. It said initial here. I did, and I was free.
Everybody was free. Goddamn mess. Sir Charles Bender, 54, banker and state duke, Charleston, South Carolina. Accounts that had been indentured, accounts we'd never heard of, suddenly appeared and had balances. Big balances. They owned shares in state corporations that weren't even publicly traded. But the shares just appeared. It seemed impossible and seemed crazy and had to be undone. We had to get the money back in the right places. But all the money was illegitimate. If we tried to move the money, the whole system would have crashed. We no longer owned stock in people. They owned stock in us. Donald Bum, 77, president of the archipelago of Long Island.
Damn fertilizers. They were everywhere. Every town meeting, every election, singing their songs. Everybody was singing along. It was a nightmare. Women took over everything.
But of course, these recollections are supposed to be my personal recollections, drawn from my personal memories, and not the memories of a machine or institution or clouds. So I will leave the history to the storytellers and the journalists, those inexact sciences, and move on to when I woke up from being in cyberspace. I woke up in my body. Isn't that something that one has to say that? You found yourself in your own body? Absolute shame. There are a number of documented cases. People who had transferred themselves to their chips for banking or security or personal reasons, living in cyber world for years and years, and then returning to the wrong body. Maybe because their own body died, or maybe they hadn't paid their storage fees, or maybe because somebody had pulled a switcheroo, a digital hijacking of the corporeal. Now, there was a famous case of a doctor who was on his deathbed back around 2020-25, dying of all types of cancers. His body was just ate up inside and out. And so he digitally stored himself in one of those cyber centers until he could download his mind in a proper and agreeable vessel. Unfortunately, he didn't wait for that agreement part, apparently, and he didn't account for the usual ill and swirling effects of the cloudburst virus. And so he shoved his digital self into the body of a 72-year-old transvestite named Judy. The court case went on for years. So what I am trying to say, as I was very, very happy to return to the body of which I had become accustomed and find all my various warts and pimples and accoutrements to be in their rightful crevices and their rightful places.
Oh, Turner, you sweetheart, you're back.
Claire, my darling, Claire was the first to notice my flitting eyes, my moans from a body that ached from not having been moved, not having been occupied for 12 days. Claire kissed me, pulled me up, and hugged me so hard she practically broke my ribs. I'd never been kissed by Claire before, and I could immediately understand what her old husband, my old best friend, Ed, saw in that. Oh, that Claire. I attempted to sit up. I went all dizzy as hell. I slumped back down on the floor of the Winnebago. Thing was moving. That Winnebago was rolling along.
We're coming up on a roadblock here,
Sterling Bawan shouted back in his native squeak. He was driving.
One of you girls, you better get on up here.
We're not girls. We're women now. Fairlizer says so.
Astoria said, walking up front and sitting down next to him.
Fairlizer's the thickest thieves around here. New rules say you gotta have a woman at the wheel across the border. We better switch, eh? Don't want no trouble.
Where are we going? I asked.
Colorado, my boy. Finally gonna set our eyes on the Big Rockies. Besides, if I remember correctly, you're all citizens of that great country. I forged the birth certificates and passports myself. Way back when.
And I did remember. Paying out our last dollars to become Colorado citizens before we crossed the Virginia border into Kentucky. Where's Lays? I asked. I got blank stares. Oh, dear. I pushed up on my elbow. I tried to roll up on my knees. I needed a little extra leverage. I pushed off the body next to me. I hadn't realized that there was a body next to me. It was Peter Starr. Peter's not back, I asked. Just as well, I thought. Lee's Fitzgerald had told me, as we were falling further and further into the wilderness of cyberspace,
having jumped off that digital cliff.
He's a spy, Turner. A worthless spy. Everything Peter said, everything he implied, everything he pretended to be was a lie. I didn't know, Turner. I truly did not know.
I figured if Peter did return to his body lying there on the floor on the bus beside me, I would have no choice. I'd have to kill him. I fell asleep exhausted, dreamless. We'd made it through to the panhandle of the Duchy of Oklahoma. We made it okay. I imagine we made it across the border with flying colors, with Lady Astoria putting on airs of her Lexington, Kentucky horse country pedigree, saying she and her retinue, now it was us, were loyal to whatever Fair Lizas at that point in that micro history, that region, were in charge. All you had to do, you'd just swear allegiance. Shoot, at that point, I'd swear allegiance to anything. I'd sworn allegiance by then to so many damn different governments and principalities between Virginia and Texas. I didn't know what I belonged to. The body next to me moved. Oh, my Lord, Peter Starr was becoming reanimated. I knew it all. He was coming after me, as if I didn't have enough problems. I recoiled and I tried to slide myself away, woozy and wobbly as I was. The body coughed and heaved and choked and then dry retched and lay breathing hard like it had run an uphill race. Its eyes open. Its eyes were penetrating and looking. They seemed to be looking for something specific, something hopeful. They looked right at me, and then the body heaved once more. I couldn't help it. I had to see. I struggled up and I leaned over Peter Starr's lanky, gentlemanly, way taller than me frame. I leaned over to see if he was breathing all right. Maybe prop his head up. And suddenly, his arms collapsed right around me, pulled me right into a tight bear hug. Oh, Turner, it's you. No, it's not me, I said. Now leave me be. And the body of Peter Starr pressed my face in its hands and held me there. His eyes searching. He kissed me. I turned away. He kissed me on the cheek rather than the lips, but he did kiss me. Turner, I'm so glad to see you. Leave me be. I squirmed. God, he was strong. Let me go, Peter Starr. Let me go. Peter Starr, I'm not Peter Starr. I was on my hands and knees straddling that body, my hair hanging down over my eyes. I looked into Peter's eyes. Lace. I questioned those eyes. Lace. The head just nodded slightly, imperceptibly, and now it was my turn to hug like a bear. Oh, Lace, you're okay. I can't believe you made it out. You made it back. And I pulled Peter Starr's body hard against me. With all the commotion, Sterling and Astoria had pulled the Winnebago aside on the road. Ed and Claire had made it back to us first.
What are you doing on top of Peter Starr?
Claire asked. Ed begun to pull me off. It's not Peter in this chip, I cried. It's Lays. It's Lays.
Lays,
Claire said to her old traveling companion. What are you doing in there? Peter Starr's voice said, What do you mean? I made it out. I followed Turner out of cyberspace. Claire pulled a small mirror from her bag and handed it to Peter Starr's hand. Peter's hand took the mirror and looked and changed the angles and looked again. I found myself saying to myself, God damn chips that they put in our heads, and God damn cloudburst virus that made it all so people could not get back to themselves. Peter Starr's body sat up with my darling Lays trapped in it. The Lays Fitzgerald inside looked at the mirror one more time.
Fuck a duck, is all she said.
We had some work to do. More soon. Turner Ashby.